Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
Love how God works. You know, you pray about a message, and I've been praying about this series for a long time and just asking God to clearly show me what he would want me to preach on. And even as I think through it, and then usually Saturday night is I get to listen to the songs a few more times, and my family comes up to me and thinks I'm not doing anything because I got hearing aids in. It looks like I'm staring off into the distance, and usually takes me about halfway through the sentence to pause and catch them. But all that to say, when you listen to the lyrics, and even today singing them, I'm just like, man, God's got to be working, because he had us singing about things that he's been giving me to share with you for a while, and no one really knew that. And God is just amazing. He is so good, far better than what we deserve. And so we're in the midst of a series here. We started, it's just going to be a quick hitter, but it is one that's incredibly important. So over the next few months, this idea of discipleship, following Christ more clearly, getting into the trenches with him and just understanding what he means by following him. You know, last week we looked at Matthew 16, 24 and said, he said, if you're going to follow after me, if you're going to be my disciple, you've got to do really these three things and deny yourself, which we looked at and saw that that's really a surrender. We got to surrender our will to his. And in Matthew 28, toward at the end of that chapter, the last things that Jesus says to his followers is to therefore go and make disciples of all the nations. All power has been, authority has been given me, and he's in turn giving us that authority. So we deny ourselves, we take up our cross, and we realize that when Jesus said this, he had just told the disciples he was going to die at the hands of the Romans. He was going to be handed over. And this idea of taking up their cross, really, they understood what that meant. That meant that that was doing what God had called them to do. And in a sense, what it means is he was calling them to identify with him. And in 2 Corinthians 5, we saw that Paul writes about identity in Christ, how we're a new creation, and how we're called to take the ministry and the message that he's given them out to the rest of the world. And so in turn, we're that church today that has that same thing. So we need to identify with Christ, and finally we follow him. And that really, what we boiled that down to was faithful obedience. So that's kind of the what. So today we're going to look at the why. And there's two why questions when it comes to discipleship that I want to just talk about. Number one, why is discipleship important? And there's some obvious reasons and then some others that are maybe not as obvious. And then maybe the more important question is, why should we take it seriously? Why should we take it seriously? This is quite a calling that we've been given as followers of Jesus, and we're called to follow. And there's a couple of points that are really just important to get out right out of the bat. Is number one, why is this important? Well, we've been commanded to do it. So I don't want to be that parent that says, because I told you so, right? That's, God could say, because I told you so, but we are commanded, and we are commanded to do this. So we need to take it seriously. But what's amazing is in Matthew 28, we also saw that God equips us. And in 2 Corinthians 5, we see that God's equipped us already with the power, the authority to do this. And I'm telling you, when you follow Jesus, it changes your life forever. If you're truly following him, your life is going to be different, and it's going to be progressively, incrementally different as you grow closer to him. You know, I saw a meme on Instagram that said something like this. It said, if God's grace doesn't change you, you don't really have God's grace. Catch that? If God's grace doesn't change your perspective, doesn't change your actions, doesn't change who you are, the question could be made, do you really have God's grace? And I don't say that to make you question your salvation, because the Bible is clear to me that it says nothing can take you out of God's hand. Once he has you, once you've surrendered to him and said, yes, I'm following Jesus, you have that true salvation, it's going to change you. But nothing can take you out of that. But it just makes you think, is your life different because you're following Jesus? You know, our life should stand in stark comparison to the world today. It should look different. And I don't mean you're out on the street corner telling everyone you're going to hell, better accept Jesus. If you're called to do that, praise God, you better do it. But what I'm saying is your life should look different. And I think that if we follow Jesus and we look at these 4 points today that I'm going to focus on, if we're following him deeply, your life is going to change. But before I get into this, let me pray one more time for us. Heavenly Father, I pray today, I just want your Spirit to have its way with us today. God, I pray that our hearts would be open, our hearts would hear you, and that we would take your calling seriously. Lord, pray that you have your way with us today and you change the hearts as only you can. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the main crux of today is living intentionally, to live intentionally. And so we're going to look at some taking serious steps in your spiritual, personal discipleship. You know, I will be honest with you, some of the points from today came from a podcast I listened to probably 6 months ago. I heard it the first time and I'm like, "Woo, that guy's on fire. That preaches." And then I don't know why, but God has worked through the rest of our story. We went through God's big story. And so he's been working in this message in my heart for a while. So I pray that it's clearly communicated. We have looked at this idea that yes, we must take spiritual discipleship, personal discipleship seriously. But there's 4 points we're going to look at in really talking about living intentionally. You know, I use that word intentional a lot, and I think it's important because whatever we do intentionally speaks a whole lot to what is important to us. And on the flip side to that, that if we say Jesus is important and we want to follow him, I'm telling you, this world is going to work. The sin, the devil is going to work against you. And so you're going to have to be intentional. And there's times when you sometimes will just do things as a habit, and spiritual disciplines can be a good habit to do. And that's not the only reason we do them. We don't do them to check it off, but we realize that spending time with God and doing these spiritual disciplines like reading the Bible, prayer, spending time serving, being in corporate worship, all these things, giving, solitude, and things like that, that are all really important personal disciplines, spiritual disciplines, we need to be intentional. But the first point that I want to make for you today is that out of this idea of loving God and loving others, the first point is this: we must develop a singular, focused priority. Let me say that again. You must develop a singular, focused priority. And what I mean by that is this, is God calls us to follow him, and he wants us to spend time getting to know him. God wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want just a sticker on the wall that, oh, that person accepted me today, which is really important, but it doesn't stop there. You know, the song we sang talked about the cross being the first step, the continued process, that following Jesus is a process. Now, when you accept him as your Savior and you pray the prayer, there's nothing magical about the prayer. What's magic is that God says that if you accept Jesus, you are saved. You have eternal life. But that's just the beginning. And so in order to grow closer to him, we must develop a singularly focused priority. A passage in Scripture from Luke chapter 10, and probably one you've heard before, starting in verse 38, this is, the setting is kind of this, is Jesus comes to this house where Mary and Martha lived, and you know, if you understand the day, it's probably reasonable to understand that it wasn't just Jesus. There was probably his disciples that were following him at that point, and there was probably other people, and so this would have been a busy house. And I look around the auditorium and I see some of you, if you had a group of people coming to your house, some of you are getting very nervous just thinking about this, right? My mom. Oh, what am I going to do? What do I got to do? You know, you just kind of go into go mode. Well, and others of you are more outgoing, like my father, who is just like, he hasn't met a person he doesn't know and can't strike up a conversation with. So he's very conversational. And so you kind of picture this going on. And so Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38, it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her house to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." And 41, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now catch a couple of things here. When Jesus says, "Martha, Martha," in the language, that language, that was, when they said it more than once, that was serious. It's kind of like when you got in trouble and your mom used your full name. You knew there was a whooping coming or there was something going on. Well, in this case, Jesus is, I don't know, he could be a little frustrated. He's human, right? He might have had that, what is she thinking? But I'm not even sure that it's that. I think it's more, he wanted to direct her. He says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but there is only one thing is needed. And Mary has figured it out." So Martha calls out her sister, hoping that Jesus will tell her and put her in her place. And Jesus instead kindly, gently reminds Martha, "Listen, I'm not going to do that. She has got it figured out." Now Jesus, let's be clear here, Jesus is not saying that doing things are wrong. Martha was, it seems clear to me that she had the gift of hospitality and really wanted to do that and really was excited about that, and that's how she served. And that was okay to a point. But what he clearly says is there's a priority. See, I think in our lives, we often get busy doing things. We're so convinced we've got to figure out, what does God want me to do for him? What am I to do next? But we get so busy thinking about the doing that we forget, like Martha, about the being. God has called us to be with him. You know, John 15, he says, abide in me, remain in me, be with me, be with me. See, I think that sometimes we lose track of that priority, even in our devotions. I can tell you that even by doing your daily devotions, you can be stuck a little bit in the doing. Like, I checked it off today, hallelujah. But maybe the better question you should ask is, what is God showing me today? How is my life different now because I've been in his presence? Don't get me wrong. Keeping track of your devotions is a good thing. I think sometimes that habit, you know, when we do things in a habit, good things, even when we don't want to, then we keep doing them. We get that in our habit and we give God that opportunity to speak into our life. But never let the doing overtake the being. We often get busy. You know, in Matthew 6:33, when Jesus is speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, he says these famous words, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You know, in the context of that verse, he's talking about worrying and all these things that are going on, and don't even the lilies of the field look more splendor than anything else, and they don't have to worry today and tomorrow. And he's trying to get them to understand, listen, the doing's important, but don't let the doing overtake the being. Don't let the priority get shifted. We must develop, if we're going to live intentionally, we must develop a singular focused priority. Second, God calls us to grow spiritually. I've mentioned this already in saying that, you know, this is a command. We're called to do this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in the first three verses, we'd see this idea of being transformed, growing spiritually. Understand the word growing. Growing implies that there's growth happening. There's something changing. Your spiritual walk is getting closer to God. And in chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind." In other words, remove that stuff. Hand that over to God. Rather, in verse 2, "Live like newborn babies. Crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." In other words, you picture this idea, and we've had the privilege of raising six kids. I've got to stop saying I had six kids. My wife had six kids. I was just along for the ride. But we're raising our kids, and we're still in the midst of that. And if you've raised kids, you understand kind of what Peter's getting at. You know, when they're a baby, they just want that milk. That's the craving. That's what they desire. You know, when they scream and cry, there's usually one of three things. They either need a diaper change, they need to sleep, or they need to eat. And sometimes they get them confused and they just wake you up all hours of the night. But that said, is they crave, they need that spiritual milk. And when you're young in your faith, that's where you're kind of trying to figure out the basics. But this implies that you're going to grow, and this implies that you're going to continue to grow. And Paul and Peter both talk at different places in God's Word about this idea that we can't just stay spiritual babies, but we need to understand that we're going to continue to grow. If we're going to live intentionally, we need to begin to crave God's Word and God's Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, couple books back towards the front of the New Testament. In chapter 4, we see something going on here. Paul talks about spiritual gifts and different things like that, like the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, and basically saying, look, all of this is needed. So when we're at church, like the church, in order for the church to function, we need all kinds of people that have these gifts that are called by God to lead in certain capacities, to do what they're called to do in order for this to work. And here's the point of what God is saying, or through Paul, excuse me, Paul is writing this. He says, to prepare God's people for works of service so that what? The body of Christ may be built up. See, we talked in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you know, Paul said that you have been given a mission in the ministry of reconciliation. Everyone has been called, if you're following Jesus, to be following him, and we're called to grow. Living intentionally means finding priorities, like we said, make a singular focus priorities, and for all to answer the calling to grow spiritually and live intentionally. I want to give a word of caution here. Sometimes the church in general, and I will even say this has happened in my life, is that sometimes we get in times of our life where we're kind of on cruise control. You know, everything was going great and God's called me into this ministry and I just get in the rut of doing, I got to do this Monday, this Tuesday, this Wednesday, get everything ready. And sometimes we get stuck, I get stuck in that, almost that comfort. And if I ever feel like I'm comfortable, that's when I start praying more. Because usually one of two things is going to happen. God's going to wake me up and say, listen, that's great that you're comfortable, but I'm calling you to more. Or there is some kind of, not bad event, but something is going to happen in your life to maybe draw you closer to him. See, I don't want you to ever, and I never want to settle for yesterday's success moving forward. So in other words, if I find success in any way serving God, if we see people come to know Jesus, if we see these walls explode because we have over 200 people trying to come in every Sunday, I never want to get comfortable. Even if that happens, I want to keep doing what God has called me to do. This motivation to start afresh every day, you know, Lamentations, it says God gives us these new mercies every single day. And how many people are glad that he does this, reminding every morning? Like for me, I usually am up early. I don't know why, this is the way my brain is wired recently. And whenever I see a sunset, I just kind of smile a little bit. I just realize, thank you, God, for that reminder. I will try to not get bogged down. I don't want you to get stuck. See, sometimes we have a false assurance of getting stuck in that rut, and I never want you to get in that place. And when you do, I want to rekindle that fire. I want to say something, you know, whatever God has given me, I hope it speaks to your heart. And I'm just reminded of, you know, the quote from C.S. Lewis, to go further up and further in, you know, just that desire to know more, continuing to grow. You know, I used to laugh when I taught in high school. They would talk about this growth mindset mentality. And I'm just like, whatever, what does that mean? And essentially what it meant to me was that I was trying to help students at that point in time understand that you're never going to stop learning. You're always going to be moving towards your goal. Well, as a pastor, it makes so much more sense now. If you live with a mindset of growth, of growing closer to Christ and realizing that today is where I'm at today and we can celebrate that, but God's calling me to so much more. And not so that I get any credit and not so that it's at all about me, but always redirecting the praise to him. Be stuck in that growth mentality. Well, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, This is what it says. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus, Lord, continue to live in him. Verse 7. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. That mentality of God has called us to grow, continuing to grow. He calls us to grow spiritually. Let us never get complacent. Number 3, God is calling us into relationship. We are called into relationship with God. Relationship with God. See, God, again, it cares about you, wants to bring you into right relationship with him. In 1 John chapter 3, we read these verses earlier, we see that he's not just calling us into like this servant master mentality, although we kind of are, we're serving him. He's calling us into something much better. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called what? Children of God. And that is what we are. See, sometimes we get focused on the doing. We forget about the being, and we forget that our role is not to get things done. Our role is to be faithful and obedient to what God has called you to do. If he's called you to step out and teach, then step out and teach. If he's called you to step out and lead a new ministry that Pastor Gary's getting all crazy about, thank you, Linda, for leading the Good News Club. Can I just stop for a minute and share that in the last 3 weeks, we've had at least 4, if not a 5th one, that we believe she had prayed earlier in the year, but we've had 6 total kids accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Doesn't that get you excited? You know, she had a moment, I think, at the end of our last meeting where it's natural. When you're a leader, you always have that checklist going in your brain, right? Because you're the one that's in charge. You're the one that's responsible for making it go. And she had a moment where I think God spoke to her and just said, listen, this is why we're doing this. These kids know Jesus. Did you know 85% of Christians say they identify with Christ for the first time by the time they're 13? And about that same percentage has their worldview in place by the time they're 15. Now, probably not everything figured out, but they have, who's God and how important is God in my life? That's why we do what we do. We didn't have any idea. When they called me to say, hey, do you want to do this as a church? I had no idea what was going to be the opening. I just said, God's telling us to have this meeting. And then suddenly more people came, 2 other churches came on board, and God is doing amazing things. God is calling us into relationship with him. He's calling us into relationship. Why? Because he loves you and he desires relationship. There's two primary components to relationship. And just thinking about this, and we need to touch on both of them. The first is there really is a conscious choice. You know, we have to make that choice to do whatever we're going to do, be in relationship with who we're going to be in. And then there's this emotional side. There is that natural emotional love that we have in relationship with God. But let me compare this just to marriage for a minute. You know, when we first got married, Heather and I always laughed when Dan said it, but I understand now. He goes, we were Twitter-pated. Right? Was that the right word, Dan? Twitter-pated. We were magically in love, and there was nothing that she could do wrong. She may have found a few things that I could do wrong, but for the most part, she was happy with that. But through our marriage counseling and discussion, we realized, and I really appreciate Dan's teaching so much when I was in youth group and directing us this way, is that we realized that, yes, love is a feeling, and there is that aspect of it, but love is also a choice. And when I stood up on this stage at the chapel in Marlboro and told Heather that she was mine and I was hers forever, that was a serious thing. That's a choice. How many of you are married out there? Are there times when your spouse upsets you? You don't have to raise your hand. Men, don't raise your hand. My mother, of course, raises her hand. It's true. If you don't make that conscious choice to love that person, to be there with them forever, when it gets hard, when it gets difficult, suddenly you tend to fade away. And that's why I think statistics, depending on how much you believe them, roughly half of marriages, although that's a little misleading, and in divorce, the truth is that that number is skewed because it doesn't take into account multiple divorces. Sometimes that happens. So, but anyways, that doesn't give us a very good threshold. And sadly, the percentage is not a whole lot better in the church. And I think that when we understand we have a false idea of relationship and we've given into the world that says you've got to make yourself feel good, you've got to do what makes you happy, you've got to do what you. And see, God calls us into a relationship that is not about us. If we had to earn it, we would never get His grace. That's why it's called grace. Unmerited, undeserved favor. See, if we're called because God loved us, in fact, it says God loved you first. He sent Jesus to die on the cross while we were sinners, before we could come to Him. We couldn't do anything about it. So there is this emotional, there is a high. There is a high. Like, I get excited when there's big groups and we do big group worship. Love is Red last weekend. Was that only last weekend? Why does it feel like a month ago? I think it was just last weekend. Was amazing. There's something powerful about seeing a couple thousand young people, like 21 and younger, praising God with all their heart. That's powerful. The emotion is there. But they were really quick to point out that don't let that emotion run out, because when you go back to school or to wherever you're going on Monday, all of those same things that have been weighing you down are still going to be there. So you need to make this commitment. And not only make a commitment, but you need to have someone with you in relationship. And that person is Jesus. See, don't exclude the conscious decision, always looking for that emotional high, because there's going to be times in following Jesus where it doesn't really feel good. Sometimes when things happen to you, it's not good. But when we trust in Jesus and we choose to believe His promises, because He's faithful whether we believe it or not. He is able whether we believe it or not. And He's able no matter what happens. And His will might not be for the way things we want to go, but you know what? We can still trust Him. And we can still believe in Him, and we can still place our faith and hope in Him. God calls us into relationship with Him. And finally, the fourth one is living intentionally. This is a little bit of a mouthful, but let me unpack it. It says, our spiritual growth depends on our perception of God's perception of us. Let me say that again. Our spiritual growth depends on our perception of God's perception of us. See, if we believe that God is that killjoy in the sky that's constantly not allowing us to do what we want to do, if we think He's mad at us for this kind of sin, you know, we listen to the world telling us, how could God love you? How could He possibly love you with what you did? And you might say, Pastor, I've had those moments. We need to start with a correct perception of God's perception of us. God loves you desperately. We have to look no further than the cross of Jesus Christ to realize how much God cares about us. See, He wants relationship. We said that. He's calling us to grow, and we need to make it a priority. But ultimately, this all hinges on God's love for you. He desires relationship. Yes, we're going to sin still. Newsflash. It's going to happen. And by the way, being saved and following Jesus and receiving His grace is not a license to keep sinning. We need to be different. Like I said earlier, if God's grace doesn't change your behavior, it doesn't change your outlook on life, then maybe we need to look at understanding God's grace a little bit more. Yes, we're going to sin, but there should be a difference. When we sin, there should be like this, not a dread, but like, why did I do that? God, please forgive me. And you go back to Him with a repentant heart and you make a choice to do things differently. We can't continue following Jesus if we keep bowing the knee to sin. We can't keep sinning in this habitual manner. And understand what I'm saying is we're all going to sin. We're human beings, but we should be on a different trajectory. If there's things in your life that you realize were causing a problem in your life and you gave your life to Christ, those things you need to surrender to Him and trust that the Holy Spirit is going to work. See, following Jesus and understanding His love more and more is going to change everything. It's certainly not a license to keep sinning, but it should instead drive us to our knees in understanding, God, You're so good, I don't understand. Please forgive me for this, take this. Repentance is not only confessing it, but it's turning and going the other direction. So in other words, let me give you a tangible example. If you have a problem with alcohol and you used to go to the bars frequently and now you're going to say, I'm going to stop drinking alcohol, do you think it's a good idea to keep going to the bars? I don't know. I mean, my dad's salvation story is a little unique. A guy that did have that problem was called to go see him. But for the most part, I think you need to change actions to meet your expectations. In Christ, God sees not our sin, but rather Christ. This is the most amazing thing to me. I know how much of a wretch I am. I can't believe God saved me, but it's hard to wrap your mind around understanding that when God looks at you, if you're in Christ, He doesn't see that sin. He sees Christ. But we need to understand that God's grace does bring change. I want to say this phrase, and I hope someone hears it and it means something. Maybe you're here today and you're like, Pastor, but you don't understand. You don't know what I did. It was awful. And I would probably say, yeah, I probably don't know what you did. And it probably was awful. But I do know this. No sin ever committed is stronger than the blood of Jesus. That an amen moment? Michael would have been screaming about that one. Preach it! No sin ever committed is greater than the blood of Jesus. God calls us to maturity. He doesn't call us to perfection because He realizes that in this body right now, that's not going to happen. Someday when either Jesus comes back or we pass on, you know, the Spirit will go up and we'll get that new body Revelation talks about, and then things will be perfect, but not yet. But we need to be rooted in His presence. We need to make this a top priority. We need to be called to grow and called to relationship, and knowing that God loves you. See, intentional living is critical for discipleship. It's a critical piece for growing. So the question I have for you today is, are you surrendered? Are you surrendered? Hearing this message, when you are with Jesus, growing spiritually, does it change you? Or do you end up going back to the status quo? I'm just saying what my notes say. So I'm not pointing anybody out, but if God's pushing that button on you, maybe hear Him today. Come back to Him. Surrender this to Him. In Psalm 42, I love this psalm. We sang a song to this when I was in youth group years ago, As the Deer. One of my faves there. But verse 1 says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. Verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Do you live life with that expectation on a regular basis? That you just desire and crave more of Jesus every moment you can? You know, instead of mindlessly doing the death scroll in Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or Twitter, did I hit all X? I hit all the social media ones. There's probably more. Instead of getting stuck in that and getting, why don't we get stuck in scrolling through God's Word? Why don't we download an app on our phone, a Bible app, that whenever we've got a free moment, we just pull it up and start listening to our reading plan again. Getting God's Word in our heart, doing that on a regular basis. See, whenever somebody tells me they don't have enough time for fill in the blank, all I usually will ask is, okay, so where are you spending your time right now? Or when are some times in your schedule that you might have an opening? Do you drive to work? Are you driving 25 minutes to work? How about you listen to the Bible then? Maybe you're an early riser and the rest of your family is a late riser, so you're always up early. How about instead of wandering around looking at Facebook or ESPN, how about I get into God's Word and just listen and read it and trust that His Word is going to change me? Let us live intentionally. Let us crave. Let us desire His presence above all. And then last scripture is this, Psalm 119. Starting in verse 10, it says, I seek you with all of my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart and that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. Let these words reign true in our life. As the worship team comes forward, my challenge for you today is really simple. Make following Jesus, make discipleship a priority. Make it a priority. Be intentional. Be intentional. You know what? You know what else you can do along with this as you go ahead and get to your feet? Thanks, Pam. We get ready to sing this song. Maybe you can add worship into your repertoire. Listen to some of these songs we're doing. This one, Trust in God, is a good one. I trust in God, my Savior, my one desire. The other thing we can do is get in community. If you don't have a small group or a discipleship or a battle buddy, as I like to call them, maybe this is God telling you you need to find someone that you can spend time with regularly. As iron sharpens iron, so one man or woman sharpens another. Whatever it is, God's speaking to you right now. Don't let it go.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. If you want further information about Grace Community Church, you can visit us at gccofalliance.org. Also note, the video for this message, for this sermon, is linked in the details below. Have a great day.